Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Now that the Federal Affordable Care Act has more or less settled into place, people may be in the position of choosing new doctors for themselves. A recent book by Dr. Lena Wen looks at ways to improve communication between doctors and patients, and Current State's Melissa Benmark has more. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. Dr. Wen was in Michigan as part of her book tour this spring when I talked to her, and her book is called When Doctors Don't Listen, How to Avoid Misdiagnoses and Unnecessary Tests. She got her medical training at the University of Oxford, Brigham and Women's Hospital, Massachusetts General, and she told me that when she started out on her current book tour, she had no idea that it would turn really from a speaking tour to what she says is a listening tour.
I went into my speaking tour thinking that I would talk to patients about their health and how to advocate for health. Part of why I wrote my book was based on my own experiences with my mother in getting misdiagnosed and also feeling very disconnected from our healthcare. And so I had a number of tips and advice that I wanted to share with readers. As I spoke to people about their healthcare, though, I realized that everybody had their own story and they all had their own experiences from their healthcare experiences, some good, some bad. But there was a lot of mistrust and also a lot of fear that was a medicine. And it was helpful for me to hear that from each person's perspective, not just from each patient's perspective, but from the experiences of people as patients and also as caregivers themselves.
Talk about the phenomenon of people being afraid to question what their doctors say. You know, a certain age of people just don't feel like it's right to question their doctors, especially.
There are patients, particularly who are older, who are immigrants, but also just people in general. We're conditioned to think of our physician almost as our parent, that the doctor says, take this medication, and you say, sure, or this doctor says, do this test, and you don't ask why. And part of that is cultural, part of that is our societal expectation, but there's also this deeply entrenched fear that perhaps if we speak up to our doctor, somehow that doctor is going to retaliate. We saw this in a Seinfeld episode where Elaine was fired by her doctor, and a lot of us have this fear. And yet, especially in today's healthcare system where doctors are limited with less and less time with their patients, it's even more important now more than ever to speak up and address your own concerns and make sure your doctor understands you and really listens to you.
Then there's kind of the opposite problem of with resources available to people online where, you know, people come in and they tell their doctors, well, I saw this and this on the web and I know I have this and I know this is the treatment and that's what I want. Thank you very much. That's sort of the opposite problem, but I can imagine that must be kind of frustrating as well.
That's right. That's the opposite side of the spectrum, right? That there are some patients who come in, and I'm exaggerating only a little bit here, that some patients will come in with 200 pages of Google printouts and say, I need these 5 medications and these 3 tests. And the implication is that if you as a doctor don't give those things to me that I demand, I will go somewhere else. I also don't think that's helpful for the doctor-patient relationship because ultimately the relationship should be a partnership. I encourage my patients to say to their doctor, I'm the expert when it comes to my body. You're the expert when it comes to medicine. Let's work together to figure out what's best for me. And if you come in with either the attitude of, I know everything that's best for me and you have to do this, or then I'm going to keep my mouth shut and do everything you say, then either of those two extremes will result in really misdiagnoses and in things being done that shouldn't be.
It seems like healthcare has become so politicized, and not just, maybe it always has been, because I think back to the Clinton administration and, you know, some pushback they got on changing healthcare at all, and then, you know, the Obamacare question. And I think at the end of the day, people get cranked up because they're scared. You know, they're talking about stuff that they feel affects their mortality, what kind of family structure they have, really basic things. Do you have any ideas about how to dial down the rhetoric and actually work on making effective changes?
Yeah, so that is one of the key lessons that I learned in this listening tour, actually. You know, I'm in D.C., and I'm exposed all the time to policy and politics and people talking about ACA and ACOs and Medicaid expansion and all these fancy policy terms that, as you just said, are mired in rhetoric and mired in really in politics. But when you ask people what is it that they want from their healthcare, what people want is to be treated by someone who's competent, and caring and compassionate and to get good quality, effective health care that's not going to bankrupt them. That's not too much to ask. I think that's something that all of us in the society should be entitled to. And for me, what rings true is the quote by Tip O'Neill that all politics is local, and the corollary for that is all medicine is personal. And for me, we should boil down the rhetoric to what is the most important in the interaction between the individual doctor and the individual patient. So in a way, start backwards. Don't just work from the politics and say, well, this is what Republicans or Democrats want, but rather start from the basics of what is it that the patient needs and how can that doctor be enabled to provide what it is that the patient needs or what are the policies that we can develop around that. So I think that's what we have to come down to. How do we break down all the fear and enable trust and enable doctors who are highly trained and who are compassionate to practice in the way that they know is the right thing to do?
If you look at healthcare systems around the world, do you see any models? You know, obviously nothing's perfect, but do you see any models that you feel like they're working most of the time?
That's a great question. Nothing, as you said, is perfect. I'll give you some examples of things that are working well in some ways and perhaps are not working in other ways. I'm Chinese and I was born in China. When I was growing up, there was healthcare available for all. There was actually a quite robust healthcare system. As China developed, though, the policies and politics got developed such that China has become purely a fee-for-service system, where if you are wealthy and you have great access to care, then you can get just about anything you need. But if you're not, then you really can't get anything at all. Sorry?
I'm sorry, I need to interrupt you for a second. China doesn't have universal health care anymore.
The access to universal health care was abandoned back in the 1980s, along with the rest of the economic reforms that were done, too.
No kidding.
So there are plenty of people who do not have access to health care and who basically everything is, if you pay for something, you will get it. But plenty of people go without because they know that they can't actually afford it. And so I'm afraid that the U.S. is going down a similar path, and that unless we get some national commitment to this is the access that we need and this is the coverage that we want to provide to all of our citizens, that we'll also end up in a similar system. I think there are more examples of systems that don't work than there are systems of that do work.
What do you think is the single largest issue, if there is a, I mean, no, everything is connected, so, but what do you think is maybe the biggest issue affecting the quality of healthcare in the U.S. today?
There are a number of interrelated issues. A lot of them boil down to our belief that technology is the answer. You know, we know from multiple studies done now from the 50s, 60s, 70s, all the way until present day, that your diagnosis can be made 80% of the time just based on the history. That's the story of your illness alone. All the physical exam, every single test and blood tests and CT scans and MRIs, everything added together can add only 20% to that diagnosis, which I think is remarkable because if you think about the billions of dollars that are invested into developing better testing, think about how many billions you hear being developed into getting a better history, right? We don't hear that at all. And in fact, doctors have less and less time now to even listen and elicit that story from their patients. And so we've gotten away from the art of medicine and also from the fundamentals of listening to the patient and listening to the story. And that, I think, is contributing to a lot of other dynamics in medicine that are against what is it that's actually helpful for providing medical care, that's making patients and doctors more disconnected, that's making healthcare even more expensive, and that's in turn contributing to less access to healthcare too.
It almost sounds like the medical world needs interviewers.
That's right. And we need people who are able to listen and who are trained to elicit the story and understand what's going on with their patients.
My mother was a hospital chaplain for over a decade. And one of the things that she noticed was that the people in the faith world who did that kind of work got burnt out. They were there for everybody and not very many people were there for them. And I have to wonder the same thing as you tell me about how much pressure doctors are under and how much time they don't have and the financial pressures and the time pressures. Who takes care of the doctors in all this?
There is a very high degree of burnout among practicing physicians, and I suspect that part of it is exactly what you said, that there is all this pressure on doctors that come from patients and their needs, but also from the healthcare system too. Doctors are under more and more pressure now to see as many patients as possible, to do as much billing as possible, but to keep costs low for patients. And also there are increasing pressures to do a certain checklist of things. Every patient needs to have a checklist of review systems, to have a checklist of things that need to be followed. And while all this ideally will enhance patient care, that does put more demands on patients or on doctors' time. And so part of this is that doctors have to get better support and that our healthcare system has to change. But you're right that there needs to be better support for doctors in the system as well.
Well, Dr. Lena Wen, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.